Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that Jesus Christ is risen. We bless you and thank you that in the testimony of Jesus, there stands a power, O God, that is above every other kind of power, Father. The power that you manifested in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a power that stands in righteousness and holiness of the truth, a power that is to be revealed in the testimony of Jesus, a power that is to be manifested in the fulfillment of your word, the power that is to be described in the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, the psalms, the power that is to be demonstrated as you choose to perform your word, the power that is to be manifested in every born-again Christian, Father, the power that is to be unveiled and developed through our lives, our lifestyles, the power that is to be manifested through all that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed, that power that you gave to us in raising Jesus Christ from the dead and seating him at your right hand, far above every principality, every power, every might, and every dominion. Seating him and giving him a name that is above every name in this age and the age to come. The name of Jesus, Father. The name that is ours, O God. The name that is our inheritance and our possession. A name to be unveiled in resurrection power. A name that is to be proclaimed in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. A name that is to be established in us in the substance of the Master's fullness. A name that is above every name. A name before which, O God, every knee will bow. But Father, first we must bow. Because unless we bow from the altars of our heart, the name of Jesus will not be established where it is meant to be established, in every member of the body of Christ, so that every living member of the body of Christ will truly exalt and give expression to the glory that belongs to the Master, that he will truly be exalted in the altars of our hearts, Father, that he will truly be proclaimed as Lord and Master, that he will truly be received and realized as the beloved of our hearts. So we look to him, O God, to reign in us, Father, in righteousness and holiness of the truth, Father. We pray that as you unveil the wonder of your Son within us, we pray that he will rise in us in the power of his resurrection, that the power of his resurrection will be manifested in our character, our nature, our personalities, in our every thought, in our every attitude, in our every intent, in our every desire, in our every imagination, in our every object, in our every purpose, in our will and our emotions, in our conscious, our subconscious, and our unconscious, Father, in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. In our spirits, our souls, and our bodies, in our hearts, and our minds, we pray that the power that you have released through the cross, Father, let that power be fully developed in each one of our beings. Let that power be manifested, O God, in every facet, in every particle of our being, Father. Let the very fabric of our being, Father, be manifested in resurrection power, that we may rise to be the church of Jesus Christ, that we may rise to manifest the testimony that he is risen, Father, that he will be seen, O God, from the lives that we live, that he will be seen, O God, in the testimony of all that we proclaim, Father, in his precious name. So Holy Spirit, we look to you to manifest that power that is called the surpassing greatness of his power. We pray this over the entire body of Christ across the world, yea, even in the heavenly places, Father, both Jew and Gentile. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a quick review of what resurrection power means. Jesus Christ is risen. And in the testimony of Jesus, there is a power that is meant to be given to each and every one of us, a power that is our inheritance and our possession. That one of the great tragedies of church history is that we have not manifested the power of his resurrection that is available to each and every one of us, that is available to us from our hearts. So what is this power all about? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, that is Jesus Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church. We are to understand that Jesus is the head of all things. When the church understands this, then we will truly discover this power that God has given us. Verse 23. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So surpassing greatness of his power, that is resurrection power. Surpassing greatness of his power. That power has been given to us. It is described as the surpassing greatness of his power, the power that is above every other kind of power. It's above witchcraft, it's above sorcery, it's above political power, it's above organizational power, it's above every kind of power. It is the power that stands in the name of Jesus Christ, and that power is given to the church. And the church is required to discover that power and to manifest that power as a testimony that Jesus Christ is risen, as a testimony from each one of our lives, as a testimony that Jesus Christ is risen. Okay, so this power is called the surpassing greatness of his power. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Now this statement says that the power, the surpassing greatness of the power, is to work within us. It is a power that God has configured to be manifested within us. Right? So it is personal to each and every one of us. We don't have to earn it, we only have to receive it. But the power of this resurrection is meant to be working inside of us. Are you with me? It is meant to be working inside of us. Third aspect of this power. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. It tells us here in the middle of this verse that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. That Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. That verse, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, is talking about Jesus Christ. And it's telling us that he upholds all things. Upholds all things, how? In the will of God. He upholds all things in the will of God by the word of his power. That means the will of God is going to be manifested by the word of his power. Do you understand that? That means all that God has ordained for fulfillment, the law, the prophets, the psalms, the scriptures, all that God has ordained stands in the word of his power, the word of Jesus' power. The Greek word for power there is dunamis power. It is resurrection power. And it's communicated through the word of God. The Greek word for word there is rhema. And we already know from John 6:63, that rhema in the name of Jesus is manifested in his spirit and his life. So resurrection power is communicated in the faith and love of Jesus. It's communicated through the word. And that word is to be unveiled inside of us so that the power will work inside of us. Because resurrection power is meant to work inside of us. And we are called to communicate that resurrection power into the lives of others. Because resurrection power is designed for a whole new human being. Resurrection power is designed for a whole new human being. A human being who will live in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. A human being that will be set free from the law of sin and death. You find that in Romans chapter 8 verse 2. that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. So we need to understand that this resurrection power is meant to work inside of us and enable us to be what God wants us to be. Are you listening? Right? Last week we said that in your commitment at baptism, you were baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were baptized into Christ Jesus and into his death, so that you will rise into a newness of life. And that newness of life comes to you in resurrection power. At your baptism, you committed to unveil the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. That as a Christian, one of the fundamental things you have committed to is to see the risen Christ manifest his life inside of your being, inside of your character, inside of your nature. That's why the power works inside of you. All right? Let's look at another verse, John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Verse 26. Jesus says something very important for us to hear very carefully and understand. I have made thy name known to them and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them and I in them. So resurrection power unveils the risen Christ within you. We are talking of a spiritual reality, that by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is meant to be manifested in you and me. That salvation is unveiled in you and me, in Jesus Christ coming alive in each one of us. As we each choose to receive, realize, and express him through our lives. Are you listening? That the fullness of Jesus Christ is ours to receive. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is to be brought alive in us in Christ by the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus will unveil from within us. That's why we are each members of his body. Through each one of us, he is meant to be uniquely manifested. And that unique manifestation of the fullness of Jesus Christ is a manifestation of resurrection power. There is no meaning to resurrection power without Jesus Christ. There is no meaning to resurrection power without the fullness of Jesus being communicated. Because it was Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead as the firstborn of a new creation. And we must understand that that reality is to be unveiled in each one of us. We are each meant to be conformed to Christ Jesus and be unveiled in his name, so that we will function in the name of Jesus. This new life that we are talking about is a new life that stands in the name of Jesus. It is a new function that enables you to function in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And your ability to function by the Spirit in the name of Jesus gives you a brand new lifestyle. We are not talking about the life that we have lived in the world. We are talking about a different kind of life, described by the Greek word zoe, a different kind of life, a life that unveils in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Don't you want the character and nature of Jesus Christ? Right? And resurrection power is intimately tied to the character and nature of Jesus Christ, because God vindicated Jesus through his character and nature manifested on the cross. Right? Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God because his spirit was found to be the spirit of holiness. Holiness is character and nature, purity, right? Expressed before God, expressed towards God. And that character and nature of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in you and me through the word. Hello, at the heart of God's plan for the universe is his plan for the human race. And at the heart of his plan for the human race is his plan for the body of Christ. We are called sons of the living God. At the heart of God's desire is the unveiling of his own sons. Sons he has fearfully and wonderfully made. Sons in whom The Bible says in the book of Psalms that the sum total of his thoughts over each and every one of us is vast. We're talking here about the thoughts of God. We're not talking about your thoughts and my thoughts. Our thoughts aren't very much. But for God's thoughts to be vast over each one of us, God is saying something dramatic. He's talking about things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, things which have not entered the heart of man, things that God has for all those who love him. That's why Jesus says that your love will be manifested in them, right? John 17 verse 26, I have made thy name known to them and will make it known that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them. The love with which you loved me may be in them. And I in them. Are you listening? You see, the love of God doesn't come inside of us except in and by and through Jesus Christ. And the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is designed to unveil Jesus in each one of us. Are you listening? Jesus in his fullness, the fullness of his character, his nature. So that we will be conformed to that character and that nature. Are you listening? Amen. Praise the Lord. You understand that? It's very important that you understand that. That resurrection power is not there for us to do some magic. That resurrection power is not there just for us to put on a show of miracles. That fundamentally resurrection power is there to bring forth the right character and the right nature. Then you can do the miracles, and then the miracles will also remain because you will then glorify the Father. Hello? The charismatic move have shown that pastors cannot handle the power of God. Hello. Cannot handle the power of God because they don't have the character and the nature to handle it. What is missing? What is missing is the reality of Jesus Christ alive in each one of us. We want to establish ministries for our glory. We want to glorify our names. We want to make big churches so that everyone will recognize us. But God chose the church so that Jesus will be revealed in the church. God is not interested in your big ministry and my big ministry. He's interested in the unveiling of his precious Son. From your heart and my heart. He wants every aspect of our ministry to be a proclamation of the risen Christ. Proclamation of his love, proclamation of his character, proclamation of his nature, proclamation of his word, of his name alive in us. And resurrection power is meant to manifest that. Are you listening? That's why Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. It is through rhema that God is going to communicate the right word. And rhema, when communicated in the name of Jesus, comes to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. Why in the spirit and life of Jesus? So that we will receive and realize the word in the truth that will set us free. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. When something is described in the spirit and life of Jesus, right? Then it is the truth. That's why he said very unambiguously, I am the truth. And so the power of his resurrection is inherent in these words, spirit and life. Because spirit represents the anointing. Life represents new life. It comes with a character and a nature. And that life contains resurrection power. That anointing contains resurrection power. There is a life and there is an anointing that is to be manifested inside of you in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. So that when you operate in the anointing, the character and nature of Jesus Christ will flow out of your words, will be seen in your thoughts, will be seen in your behavior. That people will see the Lord Jesus alive through each one of us and not see any more superstars. We've had enough of superstars in the church. We've had enough of superstars in the church. It is time for Jesus to be manifested from each and every one of us. If you are willing to take your heart before God and say, Father, with this heart manifest your Son, God will make you party to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, that I may know him. Right, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. First, you must have a desire to know him. Then you will come to know the resurrection of the Lord. Then you will come to know the power of him. That there must be an understanding in your heart that you need to know the Master. Now, knowing in the Bible is an intimacy. Two hearts being made one flesh. That is what God calls knowing. That I may know him. That I may know him in a heart of flesh. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Are you listening? All right. So that is something you have to come to terms with. Now when you do that, you will find that there are two parts to you. There is a part inside of you that doesn't want to do anything with Jesus. There is a part of you that just wants to proclaim itself, just wants to glorify its name, just wants to do whatever it wants to do. That part exists in all of us. But there is an inner part of us that knows that Jesus has to come alive in us for us to be able to live. That eternal life exists only in the name of Jesus. That salvation only exists in the name of Jesus. Take out Jesus and there is no such thing as salvation. Take out Jesus and there is no such thing as eternal life. Take out Jesus and there's no life. Period. And so the wise decision we all have to make is Jesus has to come alive in me, even if I don't feel like it. Even though there is a part of me that is so strong, that part of me that is in my flesh, my fallen flesh, that wants to do my own thing, wants to see my name in lights, wants to see me do everything. Yet we know that part must die. That part must die. If it does not die, it will destroy us. Because Jesus told us a little leaven will leaven the whole dough. That's why you have to come alive to Jesus Christ completely. You must understand that in your baptism, that is what you are saying. That I will be immersed in him. I will be immersed into his death. I will be immersed into his faith and his love for me so that by his faith and by his love, I know I can be changed. I know I can be transformed. I know I can be someone I could never dream of being in my own strength. Are you with me? When you make that acknowledgement, you are saying, I am saved by grace. That resurrection power is a manifestation of the grace of God. It is not earned by our merits. It is not based on how many hours you pray. It is based on how much of Jesus you are prepared to receive. And that is something you must unveil from your heart before God. That I want to see Jesus alive in me. And tell him straight, although I don't feel like it, Lord, I know he must come alive in me. There's so much of me that doesn't want him. So Lord, put that part of me to death. Hello, put that part of me to death. Enable me to die. That part of me to die so that I will live through this new reality that is in Christ risen. That I will rise to be a new human being. So when Paul says that you are called to be in the fellowship of his suffering, he's talking about this sufferings. Putting that fleshly part of you, something that the Apostle John describes as follows: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Right? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Put that witness to death, Lord. Are you listening? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. So changing you is the work of God. And you can be changed because God will change you in resurrection power. That's why you can be changed. That's why you have been changed so far. But you've got to go on and pursue that change and not be afraid of it. Yes, it will be painful when God deals with your flesh, but what the heck you want to keep your flesh for? It's a curse, man. Why the heck do you want a serpent to be living inside of you and thriving inside of you? The serpent can only kill you. The cobra can only strike you and kill you. You cannot get blessed through sin. You cannot get blessed through the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That part of you is going to kill you. That is death alive in you. If there's such a thing as death being alive. All right. Right? So we have to get out of that. Right? So objectively, you have to make a decision in your heart. Lord, deal with that. Deal with it every day. Deal with it in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, because I can't deal with it. Hello? I can't deal with it. You have to bring it forth, Lord. How does Paul describe it? Let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Does it mean you put a crucifix in your house and nail yourself, have somebody nail you onto that crucifix? That's not what he means by that. To be crucified with Christ means that your willingness to understand that your flesh must die. That you have to make a choice to live a righteous life. And that's not an easy choice. Hello, because your flesh will scream. Your flesh will complain. This is all too hard for me. So, he says here, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. You see, that's the key. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. If you have an old King James Bible, it says, faith of the Son of God. Faith of the Son of God. His faith. And in His faith, all is possible. And that's what you must understand. There is a faith that Jesus expressed over my life and your life. There is a love He expressed over your life and my life. That's what the cross is about. The faith and love of Jesus for you and me. The forgiveness of the heart of Jesus for you and me. And that forgiveness, that love, that faith is alive to you by the Holy Spirit 24 hours of the day. It does not take a break, brother. But it only works in you if you want it to. That's why he says the power that works within you. Hello? The power that works within you. See, everything that God does with you and me is based on our free will response to Him. Because God made us as a free will creature. Hello? You have a free will and you must choose right from wrong, even if you don't feel like doing the right thing. And understand that the faith and love of Jesus, unveiling the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, will enable you to do what you find impossible to do. That's the key at the heart of the Christian faith. That's why the weak shall inherit the earth, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's why the weak can be strong. That's why His power is perfected in our weakness. That's the meaning of grace. Right? That's the key. The key is not to live in your strength. The key is to discover the strength of Jesus Christ. And the strength of Jesus Christ is alive in you 24 hours of the day. It is alive in you the moment you were born again. Are you with me? The strength of His power Obviously, when you are born again, it is a small measure of the strength of His power. But as more and more of the Word of God is received, when you say, I want this Word in my life, you are inviting the power of the Lord to come inside, because the Word will automatically come with the power to establish that Word. The Word will automatically come in with the power to fulfill that Word. And so all change is possible. Don't be afraid of change. Because dealing with your flesh is only for a time and a season. Once it's finished la. Once you have dealt with that aspect of your character and your nature, it is finished, it is finished. After that, it's a new life. Are you with me? So he says, right, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me. Faith of the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Jesus died for you. Do you know that? Has it got into you? Right? All of that resurrection power is meant to be unveiled in your life. The salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life is specific to your life. It is personal to you. He saved you. That when you bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, when you understand that He is your Lord and your Savior, when you have accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior, everything that He did on the cross 100% is for you. It is meant to be received by you. It is meant to be developed in your life. It is meant to be unfolded in your life. Whether you murdered people before or whether you killed people before, right? Paul was a murderer. God made him an apostle. Why? Because of the faith and love of Jesus. Not because Paul was a great guy. Not because Paul was so talented. It had got nothing to do with Paul. It had got everything to do with the person who gave himself for Paul. That's why Peter, the fisherman who betrayed his friend, was chosen to be the leader. Not based on Peter, but based on the Lord who gave himself for him. Are you listening? That's why we all can be sons of God. That's why we all can be unveiled in the righteousness of God. So resurrection power is about this new life. It is not about magic. Right? It is not about throwing spells and casting spells and having things magically turned. Behold, a rat became a horse or something like that, or prince or whatever it is, right? That is magic. Resurrection power is not about magic. Resurrection power is about life and character being nurtured and brought forth in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And in that character and that nature, Jesus did many miracles. And he said to each and every one of us, you will do greater things than this in my name. But you must understand, it has to be in my name. My name must be alive in you. My name must speak through your character and your nature. My name must speak through your thoughts, your words, your deeds. My name must speak through your life. My name must be your heartbeat. Then you can have all of this, because all of mine is yours. I gave it to you. On the cross, I made you an offer. I gave you myself completely. I didn't hold back anything from you. That's why John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received. Do we deserve it? No, we don't. But all of us have received. Why? Because that is the will of God. Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, given to us as grace upon grace. And at the heart of this manifestation of grace is the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's something being told to you that is very important to your understanding. Resurrection power doesn't exist in a vacuum. It doesn't exist by itself. It exists in relationship to something else. It exists in relationship to grace. It exists in relationship to love. It exists in relationship to a character. It exists in relationship with faith. Right? It is always associated with some other word. That's why he says Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. In the word there is resurrection power. Now the word may say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But in that reality of that entire verse is a reality of resurrection power. For God so loved the world. Do you know how much God loved the world? You don't. If you did, you would be a totally different person. But one of the things that is going to make that reality come to you is called resurrection power. To enable this dead mind, this crooked mind, this half-baked, stone-hearted heart to come to know that God so loved me. It's not an easy task, by the way. Did you realize that? Right? To make this crooked being that we are all understand that God so loved the world is a miracle, man. Do you understand that the little of the love of Jesus that we appreciate today has taken how many years? Padulda. Right? The little of the love of Jesus that we appreciate has taken how many years? How much of work has the Holy Spirit done to make that breakthrough come through? To make one goat be born again. Sometimes you have to pray 20 years. Just to be born again. Just to plant that seed of the word in that person's heart. Hello. In my life it took 37 years. Right? Praise the Lord. So resurrection power doesn't exist in a vacuum. That's why you need to understand the Word of God, because all of the Word of God contains the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the Word is meant to be made alive in you and me. This is God's testament to you. Receive this in the knowledge of who I am and all that I am. And you will be a totally different person. You will be blessed. You will be the head and you will not be the tail. You will go out and you will find pasture. You will go in and out and you will find pasture. I will fill your life with my abundance. Right? I will unveil your life as a blessing. That you will one day bless nations. All that is written in the Word of God. Do you realize that God is talking about things that you and I don't even have the intelligence to understand, love? That we will be morning stars, shining in heavenly places, blessed with every spiritual blessing. Anybody got a clue of what all that means? No. We don't have the intelligence, we don't have the character, we don't have the nature, we don't have the aptitude to understand any of that. But to make all of that come alive to us, God manifested resurrection power. In the name of Jesus. In the fullness of Jesus Christ. And he said, receive this and you will be changed. And it's a long process. I wish I could tell you that your life will change tomorrow morning. Yes, it will change tomorrow morning. It changes every day, the Bible says. But it changes, right? From glory to glory, right? From measure to measure, every day. But it is a gradual change. Why is it gradual? Very simple. Because it takes you and me such a long time to say yes. It takes us such a long time to say yes and to mean the yes. That every time we actually mean a yes for some small thing, God has done a miracle. Amen. Do you realize how much God loves you? He is God. Why should he bother with you and me? We can give him nothing back. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. Why does he want us? Because he has said, I want to express my love in you. Right? And that's not an easy task for him. Because he said, I want to express my love in you and I want you to have the free will to accept that love and receive and realize that love and express that love. I want it to be in your own free will. I don't want it to be by a law. Because I want that love to be perfectly developed and manifested through your life. I want that love to be so powerful that it will change my created universe. I want that love manifested from your life and my life to be so powerful that it will transform the created universe. Hello. And for all that to take place, we need to receive and realize the testimony of Jesus. That's why around the throne of God, there stand four living creatures with four faces. And all of those faces represent different facets of the testimony of Jesus. And surrounding those four living creatures sit 24 elders. That represents the people that God has chosen to receive and realize the supreme position before God. And that supreme position is meant to be given to fallen men like you and me. Can you understand how awesome must be the power to unveil all that? How awesome must be the love that is going to be in that power to make it all work? That's why Jesus says, the love with which you have loved me, Father, I pray for that love to be in them. That same love, nothing less. The love with which you have loved me, the love with which you called me your beloved son, I want that same manifested love to be in each and every one of them. Hello, we are not very lovable. Have you noticed that? And for Jesus to pray that over people that were going to nail him on the cross, that's amazing. For Jesus to pray that over disciples who are in a little while going to leave him and run, that's amazing. So do you want the love of this person called Jesus Christ, the character and the nature of this person, Jesus Christ, to be developed in your being? That's what God is talking about to you and me today. That every time I'm reaching out and touching you, at the heart of all that I'm asking you is this question. Do you really want my son? Are you willing to make that choice? Even though there is a part of you that is screaming, I don't want that. There's a part of you that is screaming, crucify him. Do you understand that you have to make that choice? As God the Holy Spirit leads you from incident to incident in your life. That God, as God develops your ministry, by measure to measure. Right? That in all of that ministry, as he develops it and he brings the anointings inside of you, and you start seeing things happening, there is always this continuous choice. Did you do it for him or did you do it for yourself? And you have to recognize and say, Lord, there was always, there is so much of me inside of there, but Lord, can you remove the me and can you make Jesus come alive in me? Why? Because Jesus is a lot better than me. Hello? Isn't Jesus a lot better than you? Yeah. Right? Isn't Jesus a lot better than any of us? Correct? So the moment you say, Lord, I want Jesus, this power called resurrection power is released inside of you to bring forth that reality. Because it cannot be done by you, it cannot be done by me. As you grow in the Lord, you will realize the fact that you even said, Lord, I want Jesus in my life, is already the power of God. Because if the power of God had not been manifested, you would never have said it. Try talking to a person in the Christian church who has been grown up in a traditional Christian background, who has not been born again. Ask him to choose Jesus and see the number of excuses they give you. Hello. Right? They will tell you are being extreme, you are a... Right? You are an extremist, you are a fanatic, right? What are all those words meant to represent? I don't want Jesus, really. Right? Those words used to deflect the word of God are actually an excuse. Right? An excuse that says, I don't want him. Right? I want me. And God is saying over and over again in the scriptures, don't you understand that you are dead? That you are dead in sin? That if you insist on yourself is going to kill you? That life stands in only, that life only stands in the name of Jesus. All right? I just want to do this one thing with you to show you what resurrection power means. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So that you understand what power means. When I say that resurrection power does not exist in a vacuum, this is what I mean. Let's look at this verse. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It says, love is patient. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Do you know that inherent in this word love is an amazing power? The power that enables you to actually be patient. The power that enables you to actually be kind, even when faced with those who hate you and despise you. Do you realize that there is a power that is so powerful that it says that you will not be jealous of someone else? There is a power that is so powerful that it says it will not cause you to brag. That there is a power that is so strong in love that it is not arrogant. It does not boast of itself. Do you realize that love is very powerful? But it is not powerful in the way in which we think power should be. We want power like the power of the Bomo. Right? Speak this and it is done. Right? One day those things will come forth, but they will come forth when everything you speak is in alignment with the nature of God. Can you see that? When everything is in alignment with the nature of God, God says you can speak anything you want. I will do it. Right? But at the heart of this reality of doing all things and getting all things and having all things manifested is this word called love. So this word called love camouflages an awesome power. A power that makes you patient, a power that makes you a kind person, a power that makes you an unjealous person, whatever that means, all right. An unjealous person, a power that enables you not to brag, a power that does not act arrogantly. Let's carry on verse 5. Does not act unbecomingly, we just don't do the wrong thing. That is pretty powerful, isn't it? To not do the wrong thing, right? It does not seek its own. That's really powerful, man. The day that you and I will not seek what we want to do, but seek what will bless somebody else. Boy, what a change in character. Right? Do you realize that that is an awesome power if it can really bring that kind of change inside of you? It is not provoked. Right? It is not provoked. Love is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Right? We don't have, right, a list of everything somebody else has done wrong against us. Right? Praise the Lord. You will find that as you grow in the love of God, you don't want to take into account what people say and do. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't really matter. Why? Because you're so confident in the love of God for you. Because the love of God for you is so fulfilling, you don't need anything else. But do you realize you can't put that on in the flesh? You have to grow into it, all right? So to grow into it, right? There's a part of you that needs to be crucified. Crucified in the sense that, you know, you have to give it up, right? That part of you that wants to recognition, you have to give up that part, right? And it's painful to give up that part, by the way. Correct? There's a part of you that says, oh, I've done all this for you, and you're still saying that of me. And love says that it will not take account of all that. You can say whatever you want. I will still love you. Listening? That's the love of God. Do you realize that that is the love of God, that we have said so many things that are an abomination to God, and yet He perseveres with us. He doesn't say, I've had enough of you. You can go to hell where you actually belong. Because all your pals are there. You might as well join them. You certainly don't belong to me. But He does not do that. I was talking to a friend of mine over tea the other day. And someone at the table said, God is my friend. A Christian said, God is my friend. My friend got very offended. How can God be your friend? He was like, it actually blew his mind. It actually blew his mind. How can God be your friend? We take all these things for granted. But all of us here know that God is our friend. Do you know how powerful that thought is? That God would want to be a friend with you. Why? To the guy outside, it's ridiculous. Why should God want to be your friend for? Even I don't want to be your friend, but God wants to be your friend. Right? It's a powerful thing, isn't it? That God wants to be your friend and my, that God is our friend. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Right? That's amazing. That we don't sit down and take joy at somebody else who's got hurt or got hurt, right? We don't watch those Catholic priests falling and say, oh, they deserve it, them Catholics. Hello. The day Protestants do that, we will stop using the name Protestant. There's nothing to protest about anymore. What are we protesting? Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Right? We should be praying truth. When we pray for others, when we pray for the Muslim nations, we must be praying for truth, not for revenge and anger. Love bears all things. That's very, very powerful, isn't it? To bear all things. Believes all things. Believes that that person can see the truth and be set free. That's pretty powerful. Do you realize that in all of this we are unveiling a power that is so very complex? It's got so many different facets to it. Right? That power is not a simple thing. That power is actually beyond this intellect of ours. It is so powerful and so great and so awesome that is far beyond our intelligence. Do you realize that you cannot absorb all that we just read? That you intellectually cannot absorb all that we just read? Because you're talking about so many different things, most of which we don't have a clue of. We think we know what it means to bear all things, but we really don't know that. Do you understand something about power? You will only understand power when it actually comes alive in you. You will only come alive to the power that actually works in you. Praise the Lord. And that power is very, very powerful. Okay? Let's just complete this. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Why? Because the love of God is so powerful in your heart that you know that this darkness will pass away. Even if I die, it will come pass away. Because my God will triumph. If He does not triumph through me, He will triumph through someone else who will follow after me. Hello. That's why we talk about the church. It's not about you and me. It's about the entire body of Christ. Today we are blessed because of the sufferings of so many generations of Christians. I wonder how many Protestants appreciate the fact that the only reason we have a Bible in hand is very often because of the Catholic Church. They preserved it. They preserved it so carefully that they really locked it up and kept it. Right? Strange as it may seem. Right? That we stand after many generations of Christians. It's the testimony of many generations of Christians that enables us to stand here and walk in a faith that has come through the ages, right? It has gone through traumas and inquisitions and hatred and anger, right? Listening? Yeah. When you begin to understand all that, then you don't get so angry when you read about church history. All right? You don't get so angry about church history anymore. Right? Because so much has come down through the ages. All right? Love never fails. What an awesome power. Love never fails, brethren. What an awesome power. So we have done something here. We have just taken one word. And in that one word, we have seen so many different facets of power. Not that we understood any of it. Right? But at least we saw and glimpsed something of it. Right? Praise the Lord. Okay. So do you want this power to be manifested in your life? Again, it is something that you can only acknowledge in your own free will. Nobody can do it to you. Nobody can force it on you. Nobody can make it for you. Right? Let me just leave you with another verse to finish this whole thing. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 9, let's just read this prayer. I'm going to read from somewhere in the middle. I'm reading from the New American Standard. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Strengthened with all power. So we just read that there are so many different facets to power. It is the will of God that you and I be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might. Do you realize in all steadfastness and patience, God says, let me do my work. Don't rush me. Allow me to work this power into you. That doesn't mean you sit down and do nothing. What God means is don't get frustrated. Wait for me to raise you up in the ministry. Wait for me to raise you from one level to the next level. Don't hurry because I know what I'm doing. I am not going to shortchange you. It is my will that you be strengthened with all power. It is my will that you be strengthened with all power. Praise the Lord. So as we celebrate Holy Communion is about the power of God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Verse 15 and 16. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired, if you have a New King James Bible, it says, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Fulfillment is astonishing power. Because it represents not just something being done and completed, it also represents something being sustained. Yes, you can go out and get a first-class honors. But to have the knowledge of a first-class honors forever and ever, that's a different question. Right?
1 year after you're out of university, you will find in most knowledge fields that you're already out of date. I want you to understand something. Fulfillment in the kingdom of God talks about the abiding in the eternal. And Jesus says it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. But there is something at the heart of this power. And it starts in verse 15. He says, with fervent desire I have desired. What is in his heart? Love. That the reason all this is going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God is because of his love. And how is he going to testify of his love? He says, because I'm going to suffer. I am going to suffer for you. The fact that you and I can remember Jesus Christ is because he suffered for us, by the way. The fact that you and I can remember the Lord Jesus Christ is only because he suffered for us. Because in that suffering, he communicated his love, and his love took root inside of us and caused us to turn back and say, all right, I will love you too. Hello. Praise the Lord. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You realize that the love of Jesus does not waver. It stands like that over your life until it is fulfilled. Do you realize that the fulfillment will take forever? And that love will never leave you? Why is fulfillment forever? Because it is forever. The Passover is into the Mount of the Lord. And the Mount of the Lord is described as a reality of the Most High God, which means that it literally is a limitless mountain. And into that mountain you are being passed over in growing measures of the fulfillment that comes out of the love of Jesus. Isn't that some kind of love? And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. You see, that's where the power is communicated. The willingness to share it amongst ourselves. And we must develop that ability to share things amongst ourselves, to give our best to each other. Not to sit down and count, I don't like your face, he is too arrogant. Right? He doesn't say the right things. Right? All these are small things. Just forget about these things and look to the love of Jesus. And get beyond everybody's idiosyncrasies. And we all have them. You have them, I have them. Right? Praise the Lord. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Right? Fruit of the vine. He is the true vine. We are the branches. And one day we will all learn how to manifest fruit that is entirely from the vine. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Do you realize that all of Holy Communion is a manifestation of power? Resurrection power? And the unveiling of this resurrection power is in the witness God has given you. And in the enabling power to function in that witness. So what did we read from Ephesians 3:20? That the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is working inside of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So Jesus Christ died for us, and that's why verse 19 and 20 reiterates, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. And tell me how many times we have taken communion since we were born again, and just how much do we appreciate it? Hello. This is my body which is given for you. How many Christians feel they are unloved? How many times have you felt you are unloved? Do you realize when you feel you are unloved, it's a denial of Christ? Right? Hello. This is my body which is given for you. I'm going on that cross, and everything I'm putting on that cross is for you. And you are the bloke who drove the nail inside of him, man. Right? Those guys who drove the nails into his body were just like us. They thought like us. They probably didn't dress like us, but they behaved like us, right? Okay. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Hello. Every promise and blessing in God is in blood. Can you imagine that? What kind of love is that? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Shall we have communion? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for the awesomeness of the power of your love. And we know, Lord, that resurrection power is a power of love, Lord. And that power of love is so awesome, so complex. It is meant to be received, realized, and developed in each and every one of us. That perfect power, that complete power, that surpassing greatness of the power. It is meant for each one of us. It is our inheritance. It is our possession in the merits of the Lamb. And none of us deserves it, Lord. But you have chosen in your great wisdom, in your great love for us, Father, to forgive us and to persevere with us by the Holy Spirit, so that we will actually receive and realize this power, so that we will unveil as sons of God. Oh Lord, what a task that must be, Father. Because we are such a corrupt people, Lord. But we thank you for persevering with us, although we don't understand what it means to persevere with us, Lord. But we bless you, Holy Spirit, for working in us the miracle of Jesus' heart. We bless you for working into us the miracle of Jesus' character and his nature. We bless you that in each one of us we can actually say, Lord, that we love Jesus. And we know, Lord, that it is a miracle that has been worked over many centuries, Lord. And the fact that we can actually say that is an awesome feat in resurrection power. So, Father, as we stand before you as a church, not just in this place, but across the world and the heavenly places, we thank you, Lord, for manifesting in us the power that enables us to remember you, enables us to be alive to you, enables us to be alive to your Holy Spirit, enables us to know that you are our God. We want to thank you and bless you for the power of your love perfected and completed into us through the stripes and wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, by his stripes we are healed, and indeed by his wounds we are delivered from hard hearts, wicked hearts, prideful hearts, arrogant hearts, lustful hearts, wicked hearts, Father. And Lord, you have done a great miracle, Lord. And we know, Lord, that that miracle is an unveiling of resurrection power in a love that is beyond our understanding, Father. So as we partake of Holy Communion, we thank you, Lord, that we are partaking of an awesome mystery, and one day this mystery will actually be fully manifested in our lives. And we will actually appreciate it, and we will actually celebrate Passover with a great joy in our hearts, Lord. Because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is that joy you seek to see from each one of us, Lord. So we thank you for the power that one day will bring forth joy in our hearts, Lord. So sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling the prophetic dimensions of your love and your power, Lord, unveiling us to a newness of life, bringing us forth in fulfillment of our baptism, Lord, making us a new creation in Christ Jesus. So Father, bless each and every one of us. Bless our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. And unite us, O God, in the flesh of the Lamb. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we understand that all of communion represents an awesome manifestation of power, you realize it's a very subtle form of power. It is a power that just grows on us. It's a power that just draws us. It's a power that just unveils a beauty inside of us that is entirely of the light and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we bless you and thank you that as we partake of the bread of life, we are partaking of the substance of the Master's fullness that will unveil us as a brand new creation. And we realize, Father, that everything that you are bringing forth into our lives, everything, Father, it stands in an awesome power of love that is kind and patient and long-suffering. A love, O Lord, that perseveres with us, bearing all things, bearing our transgressions, our idiosyncrasies, Father, the peculiarities of our behavior, and triumphs over all that. And that love, Lord, we need. That love is manifested in the bread of life. So as we partake of the Master's fullness, we realize that he suffered to give us this bread of life. It was not given on a silver platter. It was given through a testimony of love. A testimony of love that overcame all of our darknesses, Lord. So as we receive the bread of life, we thank you for Jesus alive in us. And we pray for his fullness to manifest in all of our being. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The cup that was poured out for us was a cup that was poured out in suffering, Father. It was poured out in faith, in love. It was poured out in forgiveness. It was manifested in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. And so we bless you and thank you, Father, that this witness is meant to unveil in us, enabling us to function in the name of Jesus. And we realize, O God, that it must be an awesome power to make that witness manifested on the cross, alive and growing in each one of us forever, alive and growing in each one of us, uniting us in a love that is awesome and wonderful, Father. So we thank you for the power that is being worked into our beings, the power that is being worked into the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places. We bless you, Holy Spirit, for striving with us to unveil the heart of Jesus to us. We thank you. We bless you. We receive this witness for the glory of your majesty, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.